This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Start 'em or sit 'em, week two. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Andrew Erickson, and our guest today from Yahoo, Scott Pianowski. And, of course, it's you. And today it's all about the start and the sit of week two. Week one, we did okay. We were talking quite a bit last time around about going gung-ho when it came to Gronk and it came to a guy named Antonio Brown. That worked out pretty well. A couple misfires here and there, but that's pretty much what week one was about last time I checked. So we're going to try to dust off week one, any of those misfires, and we're going to try to go here to week two and try to give you our takes here on some of these games, some of these situations where the guys are on the fringe. And Andrew, we just got the news about 10 minutes ago before we started the podcast that Odell is going to be out again this week for the Cleveland Browns. So any changes to your rankings based off of that news that just dropped?
Well, I definitely had to move Jarvis Landry back up the rankings. Again, I had kind of Odell in that late 30s because I figured that he would probably suit up again. It's a good matchup against the Houston Texans, but he's not going to play. So you got to move Jarvis Landry up. 12 games past two seasons, including last week or without Odell Beckham, we've seen Jarvis Landry be super productive. 26% target share, 15 fantasy points per game in the 12 games without Odell Beckham. So I think that if you have Jarvis Landry, you're going to start him because it's a really bad defense they're playing and he's the lead guy there. So I feel really great about starting Landry this week.
Do you feel really great also about the amazing Hooper Scooper meme that was shot out there by one of our listeners that we asked for and we got it on week one? See how they listen to you? It's amazing.
It would have been better if Hooper delivered and it wasn't David Njoku again, you know, going off against the Chiefs like I talked about last week's show. And of course, it wasn't David Njoku again. So yeah, and Njoku's kind of interesting too. As a guy who saw a lot of downfield targets in that first game, we figured that his role might be reduced a little bit if Odell Beckham came back to the lineup. But he's kind of an interesting guy to maybe stash at the end of a roster tight end premium league because we know he's a really athletic upside tight end. So again, tight ends take a while to break out. So I know it's been a couple of years since David Njoku's been in the league, but this is, you know, he could turn into something.
Now, Mr. Pianowski, this Odell Beckham news in terms of rest of season, what does this do for him in your rankings theoretically too? I mean, you saw the Browns offense last year play pretty well, maybe arguably their best football when he was not on the field last year. So is this even a blip on the radar for Baker Mayfield and company?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we probably need a show of faith, the show me game before you can even start him proactively. I don't blame Cleveland for not wanting to use him this week. I mean, you would like to think they're heavy favorites against Houston, and I don't even know, you know, they beat the Jaguars, good for you. I mean, Urban Meyer may be one and done with Jacksonville. It's maybe very much like last year with Jacksonville, where they won their first game. Maybe they're not that bad, and then they lost every game the rest of the season. So I don't blame the Browns for wanting to get Beckham healthy and not running him out here this week. But the problem is with players like that is until you see him play and see a full complement of snaps and maybe even productive game, when are you going to feel comfortable using him? And this offense, I mean, the box score was as big as the phone book last week. I think they want to go matchups. They don't. I don't think they want to force feed the ball to anybody. That includes Beckham. That includes Jarvis Landry. They may have three tight ends who catch passes on a weekly basis. So I think Cleveland might be one of those teams where they're a better real-life team. They really should have beaten Kansas City last week.
Yes, they should have.
We know they have two really great backs. But I think their passing game may be tricky for fantasy because we're going to be playing whack-a-mole. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Njoku flash. Maybe can I pick him up? Is he a deeper league tight end? And then this week, if he has 1 for 6, you'll drop him again. Austin Hooper is going to get in the way for like 650 yards. That probably won't help anybody. Again, Baker Mayfield looked very comfortable scanning the field, going to third or fourth options. That's great if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. I don't think that's great if you're a fantasy football player trying to find value in this passing game.
No, you're 100% correct, and that's great for the development of Baker Mayfield because that's something he struggled with, obviously. And then, of course, in that very last play, it kind of came back to roost a little bit, unfortunately, where made an errant throw. We probably shouldn't have, and he panicked a little bit, but that's okay. It's a long season. We got a lot more of these to go and a lot of running backs to talk about as well. Before we go any further, I just want to remind everybody we've got that Kyler Murray autographed football we're trying to give away thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Head over if you want to get in on that. Over to fantasypros.com/contest. All you got to do is leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, screenshot it, head over to fantasypros.com/contest, upload it, and just like that, you are entered to win that Kyler Murray autographed football. It is amazing. And if you want more entries, don't forget, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros. So youtube.com/fantasypros and click that little notifications bell while you're at it. That gives you a 3x entry into the contest for the Kyler Murray football. So go do that today and get yourself something nice. So let's kick things off here. And Andrew, I'm going to start with you. Before we even get to the guys on the fringe, who is that player, let's say, in the top 20 of running backs right now that probably is going to have to start on most teams, but you're a little concerned with this week in terms of what they're going to give you, and maybe you should look at the rest of your roster and see if you can find a little bit more upside maybe in the flex spot?
Well, I know that he's one of your guys that's in the Uh-oh. Show, Doc, and it's I'm just going to steal him. It's Mike Davis. And uh-huh. I got big concerns about him going up against this really stout Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. We saw it last week. The Dallas Cowboys did not even try to run the football. They're like, no, we're not going to do that. They're too good. We can't run on them. We're not going to use Zeke. We're going to have some pass protect, and we're going to throw and throw and throw. And they almost won. You know, it was a formula for success. And if Atlanta was smart, that's what they would do as well. It doesn't make a lot of sense to run a older veteran running back into slam him into the line because he's not going to be efficient. You know, we saw Mike Davis, yes, he was productive in the passing game. He had 6 targets, he caught 3 balls for 23 yards, but like that's really not that much production. So you're banking on him staying involved in the passing game and hoping that he kind of grinds out a couple receptions, a couple targets here and there. But when I was watching that game, Cordell Patterson looked super explosive. He had 4 rushes over 10 plus yards, and in a game where they need to score a lot of points, it would not surprise me at all to see them try to lean on more of a Patterson to try to inject some offensive life into this offense, because the offense looked dead last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, who don't really have a really strong defense, a strong secondary. So it was really kind of shocking to see how much the Falcons struggled. So again, Wayne Gallman was also inactive, so I don't know if that's going to be the same thing again. Maybe they change up the backfield a little bit more, but I think Mike Davis is not someone that I really think has a lot of upside in this matchup. Again, there is a floor there with the receptions he can get from checkdowns from Matt Ryan, but you know, what good is that going to do? If you can start a receiver with, you know, playing in a high scoring affair, I'd rather chase more upside in my RB3 or flex range than go with Mike Davis this week.
That's fair. I know Davis has been drafted as an RB2 in a lot of leagues, and that's fair. For me, it's DeAndre Swift. I'm just a little worried about the overcorrection here for Green Bay. Monday Night Football, this could be a game script that really does not go the way of the Detroit Lions. Mud hole and stomping one sort of comes to mind potentially there. Pianowski, when it comes to your guys here in the top 20 of running backs, is there a guy that's probably going to get started that you're a little concerned that you want to fade away from this week?
Yeah, I definitely like that Davis call, and I might have gone there if I was batting first. You know, Tampa Bay, a funnel defense. If he's going to get done, it's going to have to be in the passing game. But, you know, I don't know about you guys. I'm sick of waiting for this Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing to happen, right? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. Andy Reid is one of the best game designers in the NFL, and they take a running back in the first round. So, I mean, CEH went in the first round. After there was the opt-out with Williams, CEH was a first-round pick last year. Mm-hmm. And he looks pretty jaggy to me. He's not a bad player, but he doesn't look special to me. And now he's up against the Baltimore defense. And I know Edwards-Helaire's rushing style is a lot different than Jacobs. But yeah, I thought Josh Jacobs really got stuffed on Monday night, bailed out by the touchdown deodorant, and good for him. Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't going to get bailed out by touchdown deodorant. The Chiefs do not rely on him as a goal line factor. I think he's ordinary as a receiver. And Baltimore, nasty mood, well-coached team, decent defense. I could see like 55, 60 total yards for Edwards-Helaire and no touchdown. I don't think by any means he's an automatic starter. And hopefully you have the depth to sit him this week or just not rely on him. I don't think he's somebody, if you roster him, he's somebody you could play week to week, but he's not somebody you have to play week to week. I also hope people who have Barkley, I hope they have the depth that they can wait until he shows that he's Saquon Barkley again, because he sure didn't look it in the first week. And we know the Giants have all sorts of infrastructure problems, awful offensive line, a play designer we don't trust. Danny Dimes is going to give the ball away at least once a game, and maybe more than once. We had the late fumble in week one. So I'd like to play it safe with Barkley if I could. It just seems so crazy, right, that Barkley's even in this discussion, but that's where we are right now. And man, I wish, you mentioned DeAndre Swift earlier. Wouldn't it have been fun if DeAndre Swift was on the Chiefs? They could have drafted him.
That's right.
Edwards-Helaire. I know the draft is hard for everybody. I'm a Patriots fan.
So I torture
myself with
this
all
is going to be
players.
Miserable for everybody else. Three Patriot fans talking football at once. My goodness.
I mean,
everyone
I torture
just
myself
off.
With all the guys they could have had instead of N'Keal Harry, right? I mean, but oh, yeah. Drafting's hard. Other than the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have the wide receiver answer key, you know, teams, you know, what if instead of Mecole Hardman, the Chiefs had drafted DK Metcalf? I mean, that looked pretty good right now, too. Anyway, Edwards-Helaire is not somebody I'm proactive with this week, and I also like that Mike Davis call.
Gentlemen, I'm going to give you some names here, and I want you to tell me of these fringe guys who you want to start and sit if anybody really pops to you. Andrew, I'm going to start with you here. Miles Gaskin, Melvin Gordon, Tyson Williams, James Robinson. This is a group here. After what you saw last week out of James Robinson, I think you're a little concerned, to say the least. But what are your thoughts here on this group? Is there somebody that really pops to you that you want to start or want to sit?
I definitely don't want to start James Robinson. I just can't get behind the way that this Jacksonville offense is operating alongside with Carlos Hyde. You know, the backfield, they're feeding Carlos Hyde as this featured rusher. And James Robinson, yes, is getting some run in the passing game, which is obviously ideal for half-point PPR formats. But look, this Denver defense is legit. You know, we saw them stifle Saquon Barkley last week. He didn't do anything. So why would we expect a arguably worse offense, if not just as bad, to produce at all? And especially considering that Denver was actually able to move the ball. The Giants were able to move the ball a little bit on Denver through the passing game. So I have just concerns about Robinson. You can trust him, because last year, you know, he was so enticing for fantasy because he got all the volume. Like, no one else was taking touches away from him. And that's not the case anymore. Like, they're giving more carries to Carlos Hyde. And it's really frustrating because we know that James Robinson should be the more featured back through all aspects of it. So again, not a lot of confidence. Last week was the smash spot for James Robinson against the worst run defense in the league. Now they're facing a really good run defense. So again, you're hoping for receptions to kind of bail you out. But again, if you're just hoping for receptions from a running back, just play a wide receiver instead. Like, you know, they see more targets downfield, so they can actually convert those into yards, into touchdowns at a much higher rate than a running back can. Again, just like playing a receiver with a really low average depth of targets. Like, what is that going to do for me? Probably not much. So I would go with a wide receiver instead of going with James Robinson this week.
Scott, is there any hope for a rebound here from week one from what you saw to James Robinson and his usage?
The problem is we have to make Urban Meyer like James Robinson. We also have to make Urban Meyer forget that he has Ohio State ties and that Carlos Hyde is a special player, somebody worthy of getting touches. It's a shame because I think I fell into this trap too when ETN got hurt. And I know ETN and Robinson have different skill sets, so I thought they could have coexisted. But when ETN got hurt, I had some Robinson shares. I thought, oh, this is great. I've landed a guy at a really affordable price, and now he's going to be the lead back on a team that maybe can be a 6-7-8 win competitive outfit. And I'm just worried that maybe Urban Meyer's just over his head. Maybe he's over his skis. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you guys caught this, but somebody asked him today, I believe it was today, if there was any truth to him being interested in the USC job that just came open. And he said, absolutely not, with the most unconvincing body language. He looked away. He looked down. You know, it's like Pete Rose. You know, Pete Rose, did you bet on baseball? And he goes, no, I did not bet on baseball. And he looked down. You know, that I just don't think Urban Meyer's going to be in Jacksonville very long.
I don't either.
And so I'm just worried that he's going to stubbornly make some bad decisions and stick to them, say, I'm Urban Meyer. This worked at Florida. This worked at Florida. This worked at Utah. This worked at Bowling Green. This worked at Ohio State. It's going to work in Jacksonville, damn it. And it's not going to work in Jacksonville. So I'm really worried about James Robinson, not because I worry about his talent. I think he can play on three downs in the NFL and be a good player, maybe not a special player, but a good player. But I think Urban Meyer was the wrong hire, and I think he's going to stubbornly stick to his ideas. I don't think anybody's going to talk him out of a bad idea. And so I'm worried this is going to end poorly for Robinson. It started poorly. I'm worried it's going to end poorly as well.
Let's take a quick break from the action to tell you how you can turn your picks into real cash, and that is with Prize Picks, one of our favorite daily fantasy apps. It's fast, it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick two to five players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. Prize Picks has a ton of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdown, fantasy points, and more. Make your picks, lock it in. That's all you got to do. It is easy. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the best way to play. Prize Picks allows multi-sport entries too. You want to go over on LeBron and under on Mahomes, or vice versa? The offers are there for every sport you can think of: football, college football, basketball, college basketball, baseball, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, it's safe, and it offers fast withdrawals. And with Prize Picks, the app is rated 4.8 on the App Store with rave reviews. Prize Picks is the only go-to for daily fantasy. It's the easy way to play daily fantasy. Daily fantasy simplified, it's Prize Picks. Find it in the App Store and on Google Play, and use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And now, back to the action. Scott, what are your thoughts on Tyson Williams when you're looking at him in this night game against Kansas City? Did you see enough that you would start him this week as a flex RB?
I want to say yes. In part because I like the player, in part because I have in 120 team league, I went zero RB, and I need Tyson Williams. But Tyson Williams.
So you're speaking it into existence.
Yeah, I'm trying to look out for number one here. I'm trying to look out to one of my favorite readers, which is me. But, you know, late in that game, they seemed to go away from him. You know, Latavius Murray barely met everybody on the team, and they still gave him, what, double-digit carries, whatever it was. There was that one play where it didn't seem like Jackson and Williams were clear if there was going to be a handoff or not. That's why I think the read option is a little bit overrated sometimes, because I don't think the back knows all the time if he's getting the ball. And you can see, it just looks like a fumble waiting to happen. There was at least one block. I didn't review the entire game, but there's at least one play I saw on live TV where Williams whiffed on his block. And we know that running game's always going to have some design runs by Jackson, some scrambles by Jackson. Long way of saying, I think Williams is probably looking at a projectable 9 to 14, 9 to 15 touch range for this game that may be playable in some formats. His touchdown equity isn't great. The score he had on Monday night was a long touchdown. When they get to the goal line, I would think they'd go with more of a thumper approach. So I'm looking at somebody, okay, maybe 10 to 15 touches for Williams and maybe a 25% chance to score. That's going to make him a very fringy flex play at best in week two.
Andrew, he did look good catching the football, which I think was slightly surprising, the usage that they had early on for him in that role. I thought that was actually encouraging in any PPR format. I'm with Scott. It's very dependent on what your options are at this point. But let's say one of your options are Tyson Williams, or you just picked up Elijah Mitchell. Which way are you going to go in that?
I'm probably going to still roll with Tyson Williams in that capacity. Again, this 49ers backfield is you're playing with fire. And again, like, I was on, you know, trying to add Elijah Mitchell off the waiver wire, because I want to see how things play out, because we're going to find out, you know, this week, you know, who is the back to own, or it could be none of them. You know, they could all split carries, and we just kind of like throw our hands up like, well, I guess we're not going to know which one to start. We can't start any of them. We just kind of hold and wait for, you know, a potential injury or something, or someone to emerge from this backfield. So with me, at least I know in Baltimore, there's two guys. Like, I'm not worried about Le'Veon Bell, not worried about Devonta Freeman. Like, those guys can't play anymore. Like, there's nothing that I've seen from either of those players that gives me any indication they have any juice left in the tank. So not concerned about those guys. And yes, like, Latavius Murray did work in a lot during the second half of that game, but, you know, Tayson Williams has the juice. Like, he has the explosive upside. Like, he scored a long rushing touchdown just like he did in the preseason, because that's what he does. Like, he's an explosive running back, and I don't think Latavius Murray is particularly explosive anymore. And they're going to need big plays against the Chiefs, like, simply put. And if they're trailing in this game, Joe, like you pointed out, he was involved as a receiver. So if they are trying to keep up, trying to keep pace with the Chiefs, they have to throw more, then we're probably going to see more Tyson Williams, potentially more than Latavius Murray, because he just offers more upside, you know, on a per-touch basis. He can just make more plays. He can make guys miss. Latavius Murray is going to fall down when he runs into another guy. Just, he just doesn't have that anymore at his age. So again, he's reliable as a veteran, so I think that he's still going to get touches. I think he's worthy of being owned in leagues, but I'm still going to go after Tyson Williams. You know, he's got power, and I think that he looks good as a rusher. You know, that does matter to an extent. I know we talk about running backs don't matter, but when a guy impresses me with some impressive runs, I am enamored slightly. So I like Tyson Williams, and I like him in this match. Again, the Chiefs can't stop the run. They still can't stop it.
It's true.
And whether that's because they elect to just let people run on them or how have you not, it's like the Lamar Jackson, you know, the strength of this team is not necessarily passing. So we're going to see them try to run the football, and I think Tyson Williams is going to be the lead guy, at least in a 1A, 1B situation.
All right, here's a fascinating one for you. I don't think anybody saw that Mark Ingram performance coming, and who knows if we'll see it again. Same could be said potentially of the Ronald Jones one. I think we all were cautiously optimistic on Thursday night. Things did not go well. But I feel like we're in this cycle now of Ronald Jones where things don't go well. We all bench him. Next thing you know, he has a great matchup here against the Atlanta Falcons, who last week certainly made Miles Sanders look like an RB1. Andrew, if you had Ronald Jones and Mark Ingram on your roster this week, which one would you start?
I mean, I'm starting Ronald Jones. I'm starting the running back that plays on the team that is 12 point favorites and not the running back on the team that's 11 or 12 point underdogs.
I agree. Like, I'm with you.
I think it's that simple because, look, Ronald Jones could touch the ball 5 times and still score more fantasy points than Mark Ingram if he touches the ball 15 times. Like, it's no debate for me. I think Mark Ingram was fool's gold off the waiver wire this week because they're going to be facing way more negative game script. This could be the only game they win all season was week one. Like, it was the perfect storm for Mark Ingram, and it was basically the complete opposite for Ronald Jones. Like, could not have gone worse for Ronald Jones in the week opener. So I think that Ronald Jones will potentially see a little bit more in this game than he did last week. And then Mark Ingram, I think we're going to see more of David Johnson, honestly. I just think that the Texans are going to trail in this game, and I think that we saw David. I mean, those other running backs still got used. You know, Mark Ingram only saw 44% snap share, so it's not like he was the only player playing, like a Najee Harris. Like, they were using the other running backs. Phillip Lindsay scored a touchdown. David Johnson scored a touchdown, and Mark Ingram was not involved in the passing game whatsoever. So, I would lean Ronald Jones there.
All right, Scott, I'm going to ask you the question here. You have Fournette, you have Ronald Jones. I feel like every week we're going to do this. Last week was not a good performance for either one. Do you shake that off, and do you try to avoid this trap of, well, I had them in my lineup, they didn't perform well, I sit them, and then they do well? Do you try to get ahead of that, or do you try to trade them away? Like, what are you doing right now with this Tampa Bay situation in week two? Can you start any of them? And if so, do you think you can expect points from them against Atlanta? Because it seems like defensively, they're ready to give up some points.
Yeah, I like the way Andrew started his answer to the last question where, you know, look at the point spread, right? I mean, Tampa Bay is expected to name the score against Atlanta. Houston is a big underdog at Cleveland. When you're picking running backs, right, or fantasy defenses for that matter, they're so correlated to how successful the team is and what the game script is that's going to make your decision for you a lot of the time. And I know Ronald Jones had a fumble and he got fumble shamed for it and all that stuff. And obviously Fournette bobbled a pass that turned into an interception that really that play was on Fournette more than anybody else. But Atlanta just looked like defenseless in that first week. It's to the point that I don't even know what to take from Philadelphia's side of it. I mean, I want to think that Philadelphia could be good. It would really be fun fantasy story if Jalen Hurts is good, if Miles Sanders is good, if Devonta Smith is good right out of the box. But I also have to be mindful that maybe the Falcons are just so lousy that they're going to make a lot of teams look good. But I know this, Tampa Bay's good, man. They look good opening day. It took them a while to find their footing last year. Remember, they had the first drive against New Orleans was good, and then they looked like hot garbage the rest of that day. But Tom Brady has all the toys. Antonio Brown looks like a factor again, and they're going to have a big lead in this game. I think you can project 15 touches for either one of their backs. I think they both have decent touchdown equity. The spread of the game, the expected flow of the game, and it's one thing if the game's a pick 'em or one team's a 3-point favorite, we could say, well, I'm not sure who's going to win, right? But when one team's a 12-point favorite, we expect a very definitive flow to follow in this game. And so other than if the Tampa Bay defense scores or they score on special teams or something like that, I think these running backs for Tampa Bay are both plugs and plays, and I have no problem using either one of them. You want to get behind the biggest favorite you can because that's going to lead to rushing attempts. We know that Tampa Bay's not going to say, well, screw it, we'll just throw it 52 times anyway. If the game gets out of hand, they're going to run the clock out. And they're going to do a lot of that. I think with Leonard Fournette, I would play him over Jones, even if Jones gets the first snap. I still think Fournette's the better play. But I'm proactive with both of the Tampa Bay primary backs this week.
All right, Josh Jacobs, you kind of touched on him earlier. I just want to do this real quickly, and then we'll move on to wide receiver. Josh Jacobs, tough matchup going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh defense obviously looks fantastic. Would you start Josh Jacobs or Elijah Mitchell this week, Scott?
I think you have to start Jacobs, but I'm not thrilled with it. You know, the funny thing about Jacobs is if you look at his career wins and losses, I think he only has two touchdowns in games that Oakland has lost. And last week I faded him, thinking Baltimore's rushing defense is great. And even though I thought the Raiders could hang in and maybe cover, I thought Baltimore would win the game. So what happened? Jacobs didn't go anywhere, got two touchdowns, and I had people on Twitter telling me what an idiot I was. Oh, yeah, of course I'm not going to
bench Josh Jacobs. You're not doing it right on Twitter if someone's not calling you
an idiot.
2 yards
of carry. Way to go, Josh. NFL Canton is calling for that video. They want to display it for a special display this week. So if you don't like the Raiders to win at Pittsburgh, and I don't, if you fear the Pittsburgh defense and respect them greatly for what they did against Buffalo, and I do, it's hard to feel great about Jacobs, but he's got touchdown equity. Kyle Shanahan is the most dangerous person in fantasy because he's smart, because he has no interest in giving us facts beforehand. I mean, look, nobody wants to give you the game plan. I get that. But the fact that we had no idea that Trey Sermon was going to be inactive, we had no idea that Brandon Ayuk was going to be basically marginalized in that offense and didn't have a great summer and was maybe behind a wide receiver that nobody knew almost anything about. I mean, Kyle Shanahan thinks he can go into the Whole Foods and take out the checkout girl and say, okay, you're going to be a 135-yard, two-touchdown back for me next week. Don't tell anybody. We'll spring it on Sunday. It'll be great. So I'm going to weakly in the Jacobs because he's got some touchdown equity. I think he's got a higher floor. We know Jacobs is going to be involved in this game, where I always feel like Shanahan could pull the rug out from under us at any point. Weak vote to Jacobs, but I do think Pittsburgh's going to control that game.
What about you, Andrew? Jacobs or Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Jacobs call there, and I kind of echo all the points that Scott made about, you know, you don't love it for Josh Jacobs against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you kind of have to make the play because he has that touchdown equity. And as great as Elijah Mitchell was, that's the one thing he didn't have was the goal line touches. It was Jamichael Hasty that ended up scoring the touchdown on two carries in that game. So again, Elijah Mitchell might have to, depending on how the backfield shakes out, it might have to be on a big play that he actually gets the majority of his fantasy points, depending on how much they use the other back. So again, it's really hard to just ignore, like, okay, we know Josh Jacobs is a starting running back. And I know that he didn't get a lot of touches in that game, especially considering the Raiders ran like 80 plays, you know, with overtime. And Josh Jacobs was kind of like an afterthought. But he was also like, he was banged up entering the game. He was sick. He also had like a weird foot thing that he was dealing with. So I would expect him still to, like, I mean, if you're looking at a guy like, we can lock in for 15 touches, like, it's going to be Josh Jacobs, and I'm going to take that over Elijah Mitchell, who I mean, the range of outcomes for him is just so wide that I'm not willing to necessarily risk it unless we get any type of evidence. You know, again, if we get a Trey Sermon inactive or something like that, again, okay, like, great. Maybe we can go with Elijah Mitchell.
There's a really good chance we're going to get the Trey Sermon 15 for 105 and two touchdowns, and he's going to be on a lot of people's benches, and people are going to start throwing things. Let's switch gears to wide receivers before we lose our minds about the 49ers altogether here. Let's talk about the guy first, Andrew, that is in the top 30 wide receivers, a guy that is going to start on most teams that you're concerned with this week. I know for me, it's a little Terry McLaurin. I know everyone's going to say, well, Terry McLaurin's always fine. He's always good, you know, no matter how bad the quarterback plays. And that's fine, but doesn't make me not worried. It's also a short week. I don't know. It's just, of course, I'm not taking him out, but I'm going to be a little concerned about how much he can actually give to my lineup. So I'm going to try to make up for that. Maybe I play a Will Fuller or somebody like that at the flex who has a little bit more touchdown equity and try to roll the dice there. Who for you kind of sticks out as that guy in that top grouping that you're a little concerned with this week?
Well, actually, I want to ask you about Terry McLaurin.
Sure.
So what is it, your main concern? Is it Bradbury? Is it the quarterback?
It's a combination of all those things.
Okay.
And the short week. The short week, too, to prepare to get everybody in the same page. And I think that's just, I don't know. Not that I think the Giants are a great football team by any stretch. And it's not that I'm sitting Terry McLaurin. I'm just trying to understand that I think we just have to build that in a little bit now to not only this week in particular because of the short week and the rest of the season to a certain extent. But is there somebody for you that kind of sticks out?
Yeah, well, I just want to hit on McLaurin. So if people are really concerned, I think that I got some numbers that can maybe boost your confidence.
Make you feel better?
Just,
oh, good.
Just a little
Please.
Bit.
Please do.
So last year, if you look at what McLaurin did against the Giants, and so, yeah, he saw a lot of Bradbury coverage last year. You know, he averaged 95 receiving yards, 7 catches, and just under 20 fantasy points per game against the Giants. So I really don't think he's going to be a detrimental piece to your lineup. Again, he wasn't great in week one, but he caught all four of his targets for, you know, four catches on four targets, and he made an amazing catch.
He did make an amazing
down
catch.
The sideline. And that's a reminder, like, guys, like, again, the matchups, we overlook them sometimes and we overanalyze them. It's like Terry McLaurin is an absolute stud. Like, the quarterback, Tyler Heineke, is going to find ways to get him the ball. Like, I'm very confident in saying that because Terry McLaurin is just that good. So I know that he's going to lean on him. And in the two games last year, the quarterbacks were Alex Smith and Kyle Allen, two guys that were check down savants, guys that would never, yes, ever throw the ball downfield.
And neither of them were Heineke. And that's the only, that's
but
game.
Heineke,
it's the unknown.
But Heineke
that's all.
Throws the ball downfield. Like, that's the big difference.
I understand, but once again, if the guys were, you know, were good, they wouldn't be backups. They'd be starters in the first place. You wouldn't go signing veterans like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, I'm not taking him out of my lineup. I just want to make that very clear. I'm just concerned in my lineup construction this week that I'm building in for that if he is disappointing this week with the pro-term preparation, with a different quarterback, and finding that rhythm and stuff like that. It's not that they don't practice together ever, but it's different when, especially you're running into camp that week leading up to the season, you're getting all those first-team rep guys together, and there's a rhythm and there's a pattern, and now it's changed. And I think whenever there's change like that, you have to be aware of it, especially when you have 2.5 days to prepare. That's all. So I'm going to ask a third time, and it's the last time I'm going to ask you, who is the guy for you, Andrew Erickson, that you want to fade in the top grouping?
Okay, so it's Robbie
Trolling
Anderson.
Trolling me on
Robbie
my guy.
Robbie Anderson for the Carolina Panthers, Mr. 8% target share from week one. I got major concerns about that. He was behind, okay, McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Terrace Marshall in terms of the target pecking order. And Terrace Marshall didn't even play as much as Robbie Anderson did. So I know we kind of went into the season thinking, oh, we got the Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson connection. It's going to be great. But I was like, wait a minute. We didn't like Robbie Anderson when he was on the Jets with Sam Darnold. We liked him with Teddy Bridgewater last year. So why are we getting excited about the quarterback change when that Teddy Bridgewater was the best thing that happened for Robbie Anderson? We saw it week one. Yes, he did catch the 57-yard touchdown. Great. Send that to your league mates so you can trade Robbie Anderson, because three targets is not going to get it done. You know who else had, you know, an 8% target share in week one? Henry Ruggs, Quez Watkins, Damir Bird. You ain't starting any of those guys this week. So I got major issues with Robbie Anderson. Again, the Saints are going to get Bradley Roby this week. I know Marshon Lattimore is out, but they did trade for Bradley Roby, so he's another corner that's coming in. The Saints defense looked legit last week, shutting down the Green Bay Packers. So I got concerns. I got concerns about Sam Darnold, him being able to supplement all these receivers and weapons. And McCaffrey is just the offense. Like, that guy is going to get 30 touches in every single game. Like, no doubt. And DJ Moore is still the alpha there. So with Terrace Marshall now commanding targets, it seems like he's caught the eye of Sam Darnold. I don't know how reliable Robbie Anderson is from week to week unless he hits like one of these big plays. So I got really concerns about Robbie Anderson.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about another sponsor. And that, of course, is Manscaped. And they have got right now the Performance Package 4.0 available for you. Yes, it's finally here. Forget about the other three. It's all about the 4.0. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. And when you do, you can go there, manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code Yates. You'll never forget that, because when you think Manscaped, you think Yates. Now, over in that performance package, they've got some incredible things. We're talking about the Lawnmower 4.0, the greatest male grooming tool ever. It's got the advanced skin safe technology. It's got the travel lock. It's got the new 4K LED light. It's unbelievable. Plus, all the new guard lengths 1-4. I've got the Lawnmower 4.0. It is amazing, and I am not making it up, baby. That's the grooming tool to end all grooming tools. And in that package, you also get the weed whacker for your ear, nose, you know, the little hair trimmer, get you all done up, looking nice, looking pretty. The crop preserver, the ball deodorant, the crop reviver toner, the performance boxer briefs, and a little travel bag. So that way you can take your lawnmower and all of your fun tools along with you wherever you travel. All the right tools for your package. That's what you need. And the only way to get it with 20% off and free shipping is, of course, with our promo code Yates. So head over to manscaped.com, use that promo code, get your 20% off right now. Manscaped, your balls will thank you. Now, back to the action. Scott, how about for you? Is there a guy in the top 30 that concerns you a little bit?
Yeah, I'm worried about Chase Claypool. And really, I could have said any of the Pittsburgh receivers, but I'll focus on Claypool. Diontae Johnson does command targets, so maybe he's safer. But Pittsburgh has told us all summer, both in what they've said and what they've done, that they want to win on defense. They want to win being conservative on offense, handing as much of the offense as they can to their running back, Najee Harris. And they won somehow last week at Pittsburgh, even though the offense looked terrible. Big Ben looks every bit of his age. And even when they throw a touchdown, it's going to be a multitude of guys who could catch it. There's not one guy who's going to necessarily dominate at, around the goal line. Again, Johnson would be the target hog here, but Claypool, I just wish you were on a different team. I wish you were on a team that would throw proactively, that would need to throw proactively. The Steelers aren't going to throw the ball because they don't want to, or they might not need to. And so I think he's going to be a very frustrating player for fantasy. And earlier when Andrew was talking about Carolina, I just want to point out, I'm sure you guys are aware of this, and just one of my favorite things, one of my favorite stats from the first week, depending on what your format was, there were many formats last week where Christian McCaffrey was the number one ranked running back in scoring without having a touchdown in half point, in full point PPR. It just shows how dominant that guy is and how the entire food chain of the Carolina offense. Look, I love DJ Moore. I'm a fan of Anderson. I'm impressed at Marshall's development, and I'm not giving up on Sam Darnold, but that offense is so dominated by Christian McCaffrey that you really have to be careful how you project everybody else in that offense. And to a different degree, because I'm worried about Big Ben, I really don't want to go near these Steeler receivers. In fact, if I had Deontay Johnson, I think I'd be trying to trade him.
Wow. Wow. That is big words right there. I like that. Scott Pianowski bringing the heat today. All right, Scott, I'm going to give you a couple names here because you're on a roll already. Tyler Boyd, Jarvis Landry, Laviska Shenault, Kenny Galladay. Of this group, who do you want to start in this cluster? Again, these are guys all around, I would say, in terms of ranking this week, between 35 and 40.
Landry, I feel pretty good about. They were looking for ways to manufacture touches for him. He had the touchdown run. We know that they're not going to have OBJ this week, even though I do think it's kind of a phone book usage tree where a lot of guys, you know, they may throw three tight ends the ball. We know they have two primary backs who get carries, but the one player on this team who I see as maybe a reasonable path to 8 to 10 targets is Jarvis Landry. I thought he was terrific last week, and I think he'll have a strong game again.
All right, let's talk about two guys that were goose egg, basically. Last week, Marquez Callaway, Brandon Ayuk. Let's say you're stuck with those two guys here. And I know right now things are a little tenuous in New Orleans, so I'm putting the caveat on that, obviously. Let's keep an eye on that because you have a whole rash of coaches all test positive for COVID. Just want to make sure that, you know, keep a close eye, make sure you have some options open. But Callaway and Ayuk in a perfect world, they're both playing on Sunday. What are your thoughts on those two guys if you have to start one of them?
I got to see a Shelby game from Ayuk before he's back.
All right.
I realize Callaway didn't do anything either, but I mean, right now, I'm not sure Ayuk's running as a starter. I don't know if they want to send a message to him or not with what they did with him the first week. But I until he puts something on the board, I'm not going to be playing him.
Andrew, Marquez Callaway, Brandon Ayuk, which way would you go?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Marquez Callaway. I think that we're going to see the Saints have to throw the ball potentially a little bit more. I mean, they were just so in control of that game that, you know, their run rate was, I think, the second highest of any team. I think it was actually the highest of any team. I mean, Jameis Winston was really efficient, which is why they did not need to throw the ball a ton. You know, they didn't really need that much from Marquez Callaway. I think that him and Jameis Winston still have a connection. And I know he's going to be on the field and start. So, like, that's definitely a big plus to have when you put a guy in your lineup that he's going to play a full complement of snaps where we don't know with Ayuk, like, what the deal is. And look, we also saw last year that Ayuk really only had his, like, boon in fantasy production when either George Kittle and or / Debo Samuel were missing games. Like, that's when he was productive. Like, we never really saw him pop when those guys were healthy. And right now, both those guys are healthy. And it seems like they're higher in the target pecking order than he is, whether he's on the field or not. So again, the fact that he was also returning punts too is kind of like weird. If he was, you know, hurt, you know, why would he be returning punts? Seems kind of like a weird thing to do, especially because you're like backpedaling, you need to kind of stop and use your hamstrings. So it seems kind of weird that he would be returning punts if he's coming back from an injury. So just a lot of red flags with Brandon Ayuk. Yeah, again, I mean, could he come out and just have a monster game and we're just gonna get really frustrated? Yeah, but I mean, no one's gonna be able to project that because we don't know, you know, how much he's going to play. It's just way too risky when there are other options. I mean, if you're going to decide between a player who might not play the whole snaps or guys that play the whole game, it's like the guy's going to play the whole game just has a better chance of scoring more fantasy points. I don't think it needs to be, it's that simple. So I'll go with Callaway.
All right. Michael Pittman Jr. and the Colts are going to be at home against the Rams this week. Zach Pascal was the guy that caught the touchdowns. Now Yates isn't here today to defend himself from last week's Michael Pittman love. But I want to, since he's not here, let's do one in honor of him, Andrew. Would you start Pittman or Pascal or neither?
Neither. This Colts offense does not want to feature wide receivers. They want to feature the running backs as the main guys. And I think that's what we're trying to start to pick up with some of these offenses that, you know, the Lions, the Colts, teams that have weak wide receiving cores, they just don't feature them. They're like, fine, we'll throw to the running backs. We'll throw to the tight ends. Like, we're going to throw to our best players. And I think that we as fantasy players need to realize that, okay, just because we have a bunch of vacated targets and air yards and all this stuff, it doesn't mean that it just goes to, you know, the next wide receiver in line. It goes to the best players in line that command those targets and those air yards. So I just don't have any confidence that, especially against the Rams defense, that, you know, really strong secondary. I mean, we get Allen Robinson had trouble. Darnell Mooney, just like, where did he go? Like, and I like Darnell Mooney a lot. So
to
put confidence in any of these Colts receivers, yeah, could one of them catch a touchdown? Sure, but it could be Paris Campbell this week, or it could be Michael Pittman this week, or, you know, last week it was Zach Pascal, like you mentioned, but it could be a tight end this week that scores. So I'm not banking on that. I think really it's like the two running. I feel better about starting like Nyheim Hines just straight up as a running back play than any of these Colts receivers. So at least I know he's going to be involved as a receiver out of the backfield.
Speaking of Darnell Mooney, how nice to make my job so easy for me. Darnell Mooney, better matchup this week against the Bengals, and he's at home. And Devontae Parker, they're back-to-back wide receivers 49 and 50, respectively. Scott, when you look at these two guys, I don't think a lot of people had high hopes or expectations for Devontae Parker. He had a very nice game last week against New England. This week, he takes on that Buffalo secondary, and Will Fuller's added into the mix. Let's say you have Parker and Mooney. Which one would you prefer to start this week?
Yeah, I just think it's easier to tell myself a story where Mooney could get more prioritization in the Chicago. And look, nobody wants to run with Andy Dalton. I get it. But with Fuller coming back, and also I have to keep in mind that I thought Waddle looked really good in his first game, too. I just feel like Mooney just has a little bit clearer path towards opportunity.
If the Giants wide receivers, too, you've got Kenny Golladay and Sterling Shepard. Let's say that you only got one spot and somehow you have both of these guys. Is there a preference you have this week in Thursday's matchup?
I'm a Shepard guy. I thought Golladay was a strange fit because he's not a separator. He's somebody who you need to say, okay, he's covered, but I'm going to throw him the ball and trust him to make a play. We know he didn't play a lot or take a lot of reps in the preseason. He actually did more in week one than I expected, but I had extremely low expectations. Shepard, I think, just needs to be healthy, and he can be an 80-catch guy. I've always been a Sterling Shepard fan. Maybe I'm falling into confirmation bias, because when you've always had a soft spot for somebody and then they pop in week one, it's like, oh, hey, I always like Corey Davis, and there he is. He's balling out. But I think Shepard has a very plausible path to be the New York Giants' top receiver this year.
I didn't understand in drafts why he was basically free. He was so far down, and I have a ton of leagues.
It's because he lacks upside.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Here's the thing. Everybody's looking for upside, and they forget that there's no floor that they're standing in. And then what happens is they have a couple bad weeks, and they go, oh, I need – or they have some injuries, and they say, oh, if I could just have some points. Can I just get 12 points? It's like when Chris Rock is at CB4, and he's like, can I just get one rib? Like, that's what he wants. He just wants some points. That's all he's looking for here. I don't know. I don't understand what's going on there, but.
You know, I think, Joe, I think we get so focused in trying to hit home runs. And look, a lot of times it is right.
Right.
To try to get on upside. Base. Yeah, we don't draft fullbacks. But sometimes it's okay to hit a double. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm not saying if you see a player and you think, okay, his upside is like 50 or 60 catches, fine, throw it out the window. But I always thought Sterling Shepard in a healthy season, and there's the rub, he's had trouble staying on the field. He could be an 85-catch guy. He's league winner? No. Does he have upside? Absolutely. You just have to see it as a double and not a home run.
Yeah. Look, man, I agree with you, and I think that's something that collectively everybody who covers fantasy should do a little bit of a better job of recognizing that, hey, it's okay to just want players who are going to be contributors. Not everybody is going to be a home run, especially towards the end of drafts. It's so much, you know, it's so hard to find anybody. Just take somebody who can actually contribute on a weekly basis. I want to ask you real quick, too, about this one more wide receiver, Marquise Brown. Because there was inconsistencies last week, obviously, with Lamar Jackson. But I think we've grown accustomed to inconsistencies at times with him over last year. Now, the matchup, they're at home against Kansas City. Now, we know how that's gone historically for them as well. Andrew, I'm going to ask you first. Your thoughts on Marquise Brown. Would you start him this week, let's say, over a Marvin Jones? Because he's back-to-back with him.
Yeah, I would probably start him over Marvin Jones because I don't know how this Jacksonville target distribution is so flat. You know, you look at their targets last week, it was basically flat against the board, and they also had to throw a ton last week. And they were just chucking the ball the entire game, and none of those guys were really efficient. Marvin Jones scored, I think, a touchdown at the end of the game, which kind of gave him a little bit of a boost in terms of the fantasy production. So I know that at least Lamar and Marquise Brown have a connection, and we obviously saw that a little bit on Monday night. And they're going to need to score points in this Chiefs game. Again, like you mentioned, playing the Chiefs has not always worked out really well for Lamar Jackson. So just because they need to keep up doesn't mean they actually will. But it could be, you know, a Chark week or a Chenault week instead of Marvin Jones being involved. Whereas at least, you know, Marquise Brown is really involved in that offense. He's Lamar's guy. So I guess I would lean Marquise Brown, but I really don't like either of them, if I'm being totally honest.
All right. I want to correct myself before I go on to the next question here. It wasn't CB4. It was I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, with the one rib. I knew it was a Chris Rock movie. Sometimes, you know, the mind doesn't work as sharply as some others. So before you start adding me on Twitter and all the comments, it was I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. But I remember it was Chris Rock. That's what I remember. All right. What about Jacoby Myers and Marquise Brown? Putting those two guys together here. Jacoby Myers, theoretically, pretty good matchup here against the Jets defense. Marquise Brown, pretty much the wide receiver who's standing right now for Baltimore. Your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, I'm going to go Hollywood here, and I actually would have gone Brown on the previous question too, and for two reasons. One, after doing almost nothing all summer, I was very encouraged by how active and how healthy Brown looked in week one. So it's always hard to tell with a veteran when they don't practice or they don't do a lot in the summer, especially as we're getting, you know, beat reporters are getting less and less access in the summer. We get less and less primary players playing in the preseason games. So we have to, you know, go blind on a lot of this stuff. I was impressed by what Brown did in that game. Not that he went bonkers. We know the way the Ravens want to play offense. It's going to be about the running game. It's not going to be about any wide receiver gobbling up targets. But in the case of, and I'm a Jacoby Myers fan, and I actually think if you're a Patriots fan, as you know, as we are, and I know nobody wants to hear about that, but I thought Mac Jones actually looked really good. I thought his pocket awareness was outstanding. I thought the Patriots should have won that game. If not for turnovers, they probably would have won. But Myers is just going to be a guy where he's not going to be a deep threat. He's not going to be a red zone guy. He's not going to be a touchdown gobbler. He's just going to be kind of what Mohamed Sanu used to be, that quiet 60 catch, 62 catch, 70 catch type of guy. He was actually that guy last year and maybe their best receiver by default, but they're going to use both tight ends. James White's going to have a role here. I actually think a healthy Hollywood Brown can be a pretty good asset for Baltimore, especially with Bateman hurt. I know they're different types of receivers, but at least that opens up some extra opportunity. I can proactively play Brown in week two.
Let's move on to the tight ends here. Rob Gronkowski in that matchup against Atlanta. We talked about the game script, but Scott, once again, Gronk shows you he could be a touchdown machine. He just needs one touchdown. Can he get one here against Atlanta? I say yes. What say you?
I think you just have to play him. I mean, look how good he looked in the Super Bowl. Look how good he looked in week one. And, you know, the way he scored, right? I mean, one of the first touchdown, he was covered. Brady trusted him to get it anyway. The second touchdown was a case of Brady diagnosing the play before it actually was really run. And, you know, he's already beat you before he's even gone back to the pocket. These guys have run so many reps together. What is there, like 5 months of difference between Gronkowski and Kelce? I'm not saying Gronkowski is Kelce anymore. But if we thought Gronkowski was in the running to be the GOAT tight end and he's only 5 months separated from Kelce, why is it that Travis Kelce is a first or second round pick and Rob Gronkowski is like, oh, you're punting tight end? You took Gronkowski? Ha. What, are you living in the past? You think it's 2011 or 2015 or something? I thought he's looked dynamite. The only thing he used to worry about is that they have so many good players there that, you know, the eight targets he had on opening night may be hard to chase those, but he's always going to have touchdown equity. His seasonal props were like 500 or 600 yards and five touchdowns. I thought those were giveaways. Those are just bets on if Gronkowski stays healthy or not. Him and Brady have run so many reps, they probably don't remember half of them. I think he's an excellent chance to spike against the Falcons.
He's probably a better chance to rest the season to stay healthy because of the fact you have all those other mouths that you can feed, whereas historically in New England, there was so much volume that had to go his way for that offense to flow properly, and that is certainly not the case anymore. So you have a healthier, kind of rejuvenated Gronk in his old age, so to speak. Not that he's old, but by football terms, he might be.
I'm in on Gronk, man. I have him in number six tight end right now. So I would think anybody who has him would be starting him.
All right, let's move on to two guys on the fringe here. Tyler Higbee at Indianapolis and Jared Cook at home against Dallas. Andrew Erickson, would you be starting Higbee or Cook in this scenario?
I actually like both of them. So if you have both of them, I would start both of them. And if I'm picking between the two, I will lean towards Tyler Higbee just because I like the way that the Rams used him in week one. I mean, he saw the type of usage that we see from the elite tight ends, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, Travis Kelce. You know, he was running routes on 93% of Matthew Stafford's dropbacks. That's so massive. Running routes is so key for tight ends in producing because if you're blocking,
it's the Logan Thomas factor.
You just can't do anything. You have to score touchdowns if that's the only way you're going to be able to produce, because if you're not running routes, then you're sapped. You can't produce in any way, shape, or form. So the fact that he got that usage in week one, he turned that into five catches for 68 yards, 11.8 fantasy points. Yeah, that's not like amazing, but that's top tight end production. And that means if he falls in the end zone, okay, boom, you have a top five tight end in the, on the week. So I think Tyler Higbee is a great play. And Jared Cook, again, the guy you could get off the waiver wire potentially, I think he's a really good play too, just because he's been playing in that really high scoring environment. He ranked really high in PFF's metric expected fantasy points last week because of his usage. He was a top four tight end based on the targets he saw, based on his usage. So Jared Cook is also a really great play. If you're streaming the tight end position, that's a guy that I would plug and play, honestly.
Let me jump in here and just say one quick thing about Higbee. Not that I have any real problem with anybody who wants to play Cook, but I think Higbee's in a different tier. We want our tight ends running routes. Mm-hmm. We want our tight ends in the slot, right? We don't want them taking out the trash. We don't want them blocking. We don't want them chipping. I mean, you know, some your real-life football team may want that. We don't want that. Tyler Higbee had a run at the end of 2019, and it turned out to be the wrong thing to follow. And I'll admit, I thought maybe the genie was out of the bottle with Higbee in 2019. But then they went back to playing a lot of Everett. Jared Goff, of course, is a quarterback with limitations. Well, Everett's gone. Obviously, Stafford's an upgrade over Goff. I'm not telling anybody stuff they don't know. But the usage of Higbee in week one screams out he's going to have a breakout year. I think he's going to be a top five tight end. Maybe not this week, depending on how you feel about the Colts. But I think Tyler Higbee is going to pay back his ADP and then some. I think he's ready to have an absolute smash, like a Pro Bowl type of season this year, because the Rams have told you how they feel about him. They're treating him basically like a hybrid receiver.
What about Jonnu Smith and Robert Tonyan, Scott? They are neck and neck here, 11 and 12 in the rankings this week. Would you favor one over the other? I tend to lean towards Jonnu Smith here. I know we didn't see a whole lot necessarily out of Green Bay. I expect to see a whole lot more this week out of Green Bay, but I'm still leaning towards Jonnu. How about you?
Yeah, it's a tough one for me because Tonyan's always going to have more touchdown equity, but I mean, what did he do it on last year? Like 65 targets or something like that? I said earlier how I felt good about Mac Jones. I'm going to lean Smith. It's not a definitive. They're both very close in my rankings. But I'm going to lean Smith because I can tell myself a story where he might get seven or eight targets where I never feel that way about Tonyan.
I like all the stories you're telling yourself today. This is very good. I feel like this is like therapeutic for you. Like we're sitting here and you're like, you know, I have all these stories in my head. I just want to get them out here. This is good. I think this is going to be a healthy thing for all of us for this hour to sit down together and talk about this. Let's talk about the quarterbacks here. These are some guys on the fringe of QB1. Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston coming off a big-time performance, Matt Ryan coming off a performance where he was on the ground for most of the day, and then Ben Roethlisberger against Las Vegas. But as Scott was saying, a little bit of concern there potentially with how this offense is going to run the more conservative approach. Andrew, when you see these quarterbacks out there on this list, is there one that pops to you? Is it Baker Mayfield against Houston, the cushy opponent? Is it Winston following up on that game last week? Which one is your guy in those, let's say, 14-team leagues that you want to start this week at quarterback?
It's Jameis Winston for me. I was really impressed what he was able to do in his week one game. And look, I get that people may be hesitant to buy in, be like, oh, it's like probably a fluke. But it's like, well, why would it be? I mean, we know that Jameis Winston is a talented quarterback. He was the first overall pick for a reason, and now he's kind of finally putting it together. He can finally see. He got the LASIK. Like, he's all good to go. And yes, he did have that one interception that got called back because of a kind of a not a great roughing the passer call, as what I would say. But still, I mean, five touchdowns on very little passing volume shows that, look, he's not going to throw for five touchdowns every single week, but he didn't even throw that many times, and he was still able to produce. Usually his production has always been tied to passing volume, but he showed us on Monday or on Sunday that he can be an efficient passer, which is kind of new. So I just think that he's the most talented guy that's kind of in this list here. And I just like him a lot. I think the matchup's really good against the Carolina Panthers. 258 passing yards, two touchdowns allowed to a rookie quarterback last week, making his first start behind not a great offensive line. You know, the Saints are blocking up front really well for Jameis Winston. Again, the weapons aren't crazy, but he's got Kamara. And I think he's just got a really good sense of this Sean Payton offense. I mean, he was in it for an entire year, so he got to really sit and kind of watch behind Drew Brees, and it seems like that worked out, and I would have confidence playing. I'm going to play him over Matt Ryan this week. Like, Matt Ryan is like way too risky for me to play because of how he looked last week. Like, it's, I get that you want to chase the high scoring affair, but we also see Matt Ryan just crumble. Look, we still haven't seen him really play very well without Julio Jones. Like, that was a big thing with him entering this year. Like, how's he going to do? He's like, okay, like, he sucked in week one without Julio Jones, like he did last year. So, got major concerns. And the fact that Jameis Winston is doing this with pretty no-name guys across the board is just a testament to how well he's progressed as a quarterback. And I have confidence in him this week more than, like, a Matt Ryan.
Scott, how about for you? Is it Winston also? Is it Baker Mayfield or one of the veterans?
I can't play Ryan and Roethlisberger after what they showed me in week one. I'm afraid that the Winston game is going to go down as one of those flukes. I remember the day that Jameis Winston threw for 146 and 5. I actually feel pretty good about Mayfield this week. He'd be the guy I lean towards there. And the thing with New Orleans, I want you to pay attention to the Carolina defense. They've drafted aggressively. It's mm-hmm. been a young defense. At one point, I think last year, it might have been the youngest defense
in the NFL. It was the youngest defense in the NFL last year.
Yeah, I know it doesn't – what do we take when they – you know, now the Jets are a very young offense, so they shut them down. What does that mean? But I think the Panthers have a puncher's chance at winning this game. I know the spread isn't that big, so I'm not like going on a huge limb there. But I think Carolina could be maybe a sneaky playoff contender, and this defense – I don't know what the Packers did. I don't know what their game plan was. I don't know what they ate Saturday night. I don't know why Green Bay didn't show up, but I think the Winston game, I think if you chase the Winston game, you're going to be like, what, why did I go down this road when he goes back to being one touchdown pass, two interceptions, you know, shaking his head, Winston. And you're right. It's good that he can see. I like my quarterback to be able to see. That's always been something. I've always put vision very high up on the priority list, but I think it's fool's gold with Winston. I'm going to play Mayfield.
I'll tell you what, too, going back to that Carolina defense point, they were very green. They had, I think they used every single one of their draft picks 2 years ago for defense. Very green group. But as the season went on, they started to play a little bit better. Chin is a star. He's a terrific player. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think that they are going to be in a better position here going forward. And I would not be shocked either if they ended up pulling this upset, because wouldn't that be just your week one to week two thing? You think you know what you got, and then you turn around and get punched in the face again. Let's talk about some of these other quarterbacks, too, that are right on that fringe for super flex leagues. We've got guys like Derek Carr, Tyrod Taylor coming off a good day, but he's got the Cleveland defense, Jared Goff, but he's got Green Bay. This is tough here for these fringe QB3s, Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, Heinicke, Wilson. Is there anybody here in this grouping, Carr, Taylor, Goff, Wentz, Jones, that you could start, or would you just throw Tyler Heinicke out there?
I'll say this for Jones. And I love the Washington defense, but at least you can say that Jones would probably run for like 30 or 40 yards, might have some equity for a possible running touchdown. And I do like the receivers, although I talked Galladay down earlier. I do think he has a decent receiver group to work with. Man, you were talking about these guys, and internally I'm saying no. It's like, so I'm not sure who I'll tell you what. We didn't say Mac Jones. I actually think I could play Mac Jones over anybody you mentioned. I'm not sure if he's ranked high enough.
He is ranked higher than those guys, which is why I didn't mention him, because he isn't in that group.
I'm cheating, which is,
you know what, though? But Andrew,
at some point on a podcast.
Andrew cheated at the top of the show. So once again, now everyone's going to say, look at all the Patriot fans cheating. You know, Andrew gives me somebody outside of the top 20. You give me a guy who I didn't even list. But I agree. Mac Jones is actually a 21. He's right around Darnold and Garoppolo. So would you start that trio of guys over the guys that I just ranked?
I would.
Okay, very good. Were you the same mind there, Andrew, on that?
Yeah, I think Mac Jones is going to have a great game. He's playing.
He looked terrific.
He's playing the New York Jets. I mean, I really think bold prediction: Jacoby Myers scores a touchdown. That would be amazing.
Could be Aguilar too. I would not be shocked. Aguilar's another guy too on that fringe where, you know, you're desperate for wide receiver help. I don't know. I think there's worse things you could do than throw Aguilar in a lineup. Let's talk about streaming defenses. Here's some of the defenses that are kind of on that fringe: the Giants, the Saints, the Panthers, who we just talked about, and the Saints. Believe it or not, the Baltimore Ravens are ranked 14th this week, but probably rostered in most leagues. Then you've got the Arizona Cardinals coming off that huge performance for Chandler Jones. When you're looking at these guys here in these defenses, Andrew, anyone that you particularly want to stream, is it the Arizona Cardinals? Is it the Carolina Panthers or the Saints? Somebody like that?
I think the Saints is kind of the one of the more obvious ones, just because of what they did to the Packers last week. And look, Sam Darnold has issues with turnovers. He just does against better defenses. And I think that the Saints are a better defense than the Jets are. They can rush the passer way better than the Jets can. And the Jets didn't have Carl Lawson, so they didn't really generate a lot of pressure on Sam Darnold. So I think that the Saints make a lot of sense there as a team you can pick up. And as weird as it sounds, the Los Angeles Chargers are kind of a sneaky guy, a defense that I think could see like turnovers, because we're looking at this game and a lot of times we shy away from defenses playing in these like massive totals, like shootouts. Like, we know there's gonna be a ton of points in this game. So you're not like drafting the Chargers defense because they're gonna shut down the Cowboys. Like, that's not gonna happen. Like, you're starting them because you want sacks and passing opportunities. We know the Cowboys are gonna throw the ball a ton. So that creates opportunities for Joey Bosa to get sacks, for Dak to throw interceptions to a Derwin James. Like, we know the Chargers have talented guys on their defense that can make plays. So I don't expect Dak Prescott to have a perfect game, you know, from a turnover perspective. Again, there's some question marks on the offensive line. I think the Chargers can rush the passer really well. So I think the Chargers are kind of even like a sneaky play in season-long leagues, or like in a DFS where no one's going to play them because, like, oh, well, they're playing the Cowboys. They're going to score a million points. Like, can't play the Chargers. Like, no, like, if you're really desperate, I think the Chargers, kind of like last week, how nobody really played like the Cardinals defense, but they had a massive game because the Titans had to throw so much and fell behind, you know, in a game that we all projected to be a shootout. So I think the Chargers could kind of be that version of the Cardinals defense from last week. So Joey Bosa, 5 sacks, you know, maybe he can be that, maybe that Chandler Jones.
If somebody got frustrated in a league and dropped the Green Bay Packers, would you pick them up and start them immediately this week against the Detroit Lions, Scott?
Yes, because you follow the point spread. You follow the expected flow of the game, and you have a team that's about a 12-point favorite. So I have Green Bay right now ranked as my number 6 defense. I also don't have any problem going back to the Chandler Jones. Well, you know, Kirk Cousins he's not an inexperienced quarterback, but he's not somebody who's totally immune to pressure either. And you know, Jones was on such a roll. I mean, he made Tannehill. We don't think of Tannehill as a guy who takes a lot of sacks either.
No.
And Chandler Jones just, you know, spent the whole day in that backfield. So I wouldn't mind going back there. But whenever I get asked defensive questions, like people will ask me an either or question on Sunday, the point spread is such a great tiebreaker because it's going to give you the expected flow of the game. And sometimes people will say to me, oh, okay, here's a team that's an underdog. Here's a team that's a favorite. I'll always take the favorite for defense. I don't need to know anything else. And I also liked Andrew's angle of why the Chargers could make sense and why don't get thrown by the total sometimes, because a lot of times a big total means there's going to be more plays. There's going to be more snaps. There's going to be more pass attempts. And that's what you want. When you're fantasy defense, you want them to be thrown on. You don't want them to get gutted in the passing game, but you want the other team throwing so you can intercept a pass, so you can knock down a pass, so you can knock down the quarterback, you can get a sack, you can get a fumble, stripped sack, that type of thing. You don't want them to run the ball against you 40 times. You want them to throw it against you 40 times, hopefully from a position of defensive leverage. But still, that's the type of game flow you're expecting or hoping for.
All right, let's get to the top starts and sits of the week. I'm going to start with my top start, and it's Rob Gronkowski at tight end. I felt good about Gronk, and then I talked to Scott Pianowski and realized where he's got him ranked, and now I feel even better about it. I just think this is a great matchup here for him against Atlanta. I'd be shocked if he didn't find the end zone one time. You do that, you're in for me, and as somebody who has a lot of late tight end teams, that's where I want to go. Mike Davis is my must-sit this week. Just hate this matchup. It's a great opportunity, potentially, if you need some running back depth next week, to trade for Mike Davis. The schedule does get better for him as it goes, and you could probably get him for next to nothing after these first 2 weeks. But it's Gronk start, Mike Davis sit for me, without a doubt. Andrew Erickson, who's your must start and must sit of the week?
Yep, my must start is, shout out to Tags, it's going to be Mike Williams. Mike Williams is going to be my start of the week. I think that he was heavily involved last week, and we already talked about this Chargers-Cowboys game. Massive total, ton of points in this game. Actually, those two teams were the only two teams in week one that had two receivers on each offense that combined for more than 50% of the team's total target share. So again, these very concentrated offenses between Lamb, Cooper, Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen, we're going to see fireworks. So I like Mike Williams a lot as my start of the week. And my sit is going to be Josh Jacobs for all the reasons we talked about. The Steelers, it's not a great matchup. He got the 2 touchdowns last week. I would be floored to see him do it again, especially if he's only going to rush for like 40 yards. So Josh Jacobs is going to be someone that I want to sit this week.
All right, Scott, give us your must start and must sit for week two.
I love that Jacobs call. Remember, in his career, when they lose, he has 2 touchdowns for his entire career. So if you don't think they're winning, he's not getting in the end zone. I'm going to start Jarvis Landry. He's the only player in this Cleveland offense I think has a shot at 8 to 10 touchdowns. And Baker Mayfield, it gets buried because they didn't win the game. But he's really come a long way in the last couple of years since Stefanski has landed in Cleveland. They finally got the coach right and the quarterback right. Mm-hmm. And I think Landry's going to get 80 yards and a touchdown with the upside for possibly more in week two. And earlier I talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's not a must play for me. I think Saquon Barkley, if you have the depth to sit him, he's somebody I would sit as well. Just didn't look healthy up against the WFT on short rest. I don't think they want to give him the volume that you need, and I don't think you're going to get the efficiency. I just want to stay away from Barkley until I see a sign that the light has turned green.
All right. So on that note, when it comes to Thursday Night Football, you're sitting Barkley if you have that option. We talked about starting Sterling Shepard. I ventured my concerns with Taylor Heinicke, and not that I'm sitting Terry McLaurin by any stretch of the means. Is there anything else in that game in particular to you on a Thursday night that you were looking to start or sit that you have either concerns or maybe you see potential for in this game?
I keep playing Sterling Shepard until he gives me a reason not to.
Okay. How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Scott's take on Sterling Shepard. The guy is a target machine. Like, that's all he does is just get targets when he's playing in games. If you look at him for the past two seasons with Daniel Jones under center, top 15 fantasy point numbers. And so I wasn't really shocked to see in week one, oh, wow, Sterling Shepard comes out 9 targets, 7 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown. Like, I really wasn't surprised by it because he was going so late in drafts all year long and just think he's very underrated. And I guess I would say, like, Kenny Galladay yet didn't put up great numbers last week. You know, like 64 receiving yards, but he looked healthy, which was like a win, I think. And I think if you're looking for an upside play, look, he got 2 end zone targets in that game. And we know like that's Kenny Galladay's like shtick is touchdowns. So if you want some touchdown potential, as opposed to one of these Mike Davis or Josh Jacobs running backs, where you're like, oh, like I have to start them because they have goal line equity. I think that Kenny Galladay probably has just as good a chance of scoring a touchdown while also having some more yardage upside. So I would probably play Galladay over some of the running backs that we are fading this week.
Excellent stuff, gentlemen. Hopefully that helps everybody out there with their starts and sits for the week. If you got more questions, make sure you join us in our Discord chat over at fantasypros.com/chat. And you can go ahead and ask us anything that you got. We'll do our best to get to you as we try to get to everyone. You can follow Scott Pianowski on Twitter at Scott_Pianowski. Scott, what do you have going on this week in the Yahoo universe, so to speak?
Yeah, I do a fades article, a bus article every Thursday. Our rankings, of course, for the Yahoo staff came out on Tuesday, and know that you can still join a Yahoo League if your team has already been buried under 10 feet of snow. Why not join another league? And I'm involved in our Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast, which is our podcast. I am the co-host of the Waiver Wire show on Mondays, comes out early Tuesday, and we do a handicapping show with Frank Schwab on Tuesdays, comes out on Wednesdays. So if you're looking for pickups, you're looking for picks, you just need a friend, come find me, Scott_Pianowski. We'll try to help you out.
I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Don't forget, use that promo code Yates. Yates and Manscaped go together like peanut butter and jelly. Use that promo code Yates at manscaped.com. Get your 20% off and free shipping. And don't forget, use the promo code Gridiron when you go over to Prize Picks. The best way to play daily fantasy is Prize Picks. And using that promo code Gridiron will get you 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So go and play and have some fun using that promo code Gridiron over on Prize Picks today. And head over to our YouTube page, subscribe to Fantasy Pros on YouTube, and you get that 3x entry into our contest at fantasypros.com/contest. This month, we're giving away an autographed Kyler Murray football thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. So get in on that before it is gone. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Scott Pianowski, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.